2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to DFS Army's flagship NFL podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, where Kevin and Chapadong discuss the more relevant plays for the week's NFL slate. Kevin's the founder and CEO of the DFS Army and also ranked in both MMA and NFL on RotoGrinders for you DFSers out there. And Chop, well, he's the kind of guy that likes to play small. He's the everyman. Chop's niche seems to be providing off-color humor to knock Kevin off track, maybe get Kevin to rap a little bit, do a little bit of mispronunciation of words and names. That's kind of my thing. So I'm here for you guys. We're going to get Kevin's input, insight, and all of his plays for the NFL slate week 9 coming up. We're going to focus on the fundamentals of construction and bankroll management as well as we roll. So we all go by the same names out on Twitter as we do inside the Army. Kevin's handle is at FFootballGeek, and I am at Chapadong. Feel free to give us a follow. Don't forget to follow the website, Twitter of DFS Army, and that gives you news, notes, and current free rolls and promotions. So as we roll into week 9, Kevin, what is up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm excited for week 9, no doubt. Coming off a pretty awesome weekend, obviously. Week 8, we sent two separate DFS Army members to the King of the Beach finals. Pretty sweet.
How about that, man? They are making me feel like a total loser for not going down there. I'm feeling like everybody's doing it.
I'm going after it. Now,
here we go.
Yeah, I can't have – now we have three people going, you know, in that qualifier, and at this point it's getting ridiculous. Like, I think it has to be more of a DFS Army crew just going down there and hanging out and just enjoying the beach.
It's going to be a meetup.
Yeah, basically it's like a family picnic, and we're also going to compete for millions of dollars. So
yeah, the founder, the other podcast co-host, a couple of key contributors, we won't even be there.
I'm straight up, I'm trying to get into this thing at this point.
I feel like such a loser. But that is awesome for those guys, man. That would be so cool to get down there to one of those live finals. So kudos to those guys. That is awesome.
One of the things that was really cool about it was, you know, how they won. Everybody won pretty much the same way. You know, it's pretty nice when you're – when you're in the DFS Army and we have an in-house best DFS weather guy in the business.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. And so when we're sitting there trying to figure out what's what with all this East Coast weather and rain, and we had all the inside info. And I remember it was maybe an hour or two before lock where we got the word. It was like, yeah, it's going to be nasty in New York and the rain and all these different spots in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a washout. You know, and so we know that one of the things I was talking about last week, I think on the VIP podcast, I don't think we had weather info before that, but one of the things I was talking about was like, you know, the rain tends to benefit the running game a little bit and detract from the passing game, and a lot of that has to do with just it's slippery. You see balls kind of like bopping around all over the place, which definitely happened. And what ends up happening as a result is offensive coordinators just lean heavier on the run than they normally would. They don't want to take chances. It's wet. It's slippery. They don't want to take a chance. So we saw it with Zeke, who we loved anyway from before that. But Zeke Elliott became this amazing play in Washington because it was wet and they didn't want to really throw it a whole lot. And I also liked Chris Thompson in that game, who worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
But a big part of my Sunday note on the site was like, listen, these games are going to be nasty. And there's no comfortable cash plays when it's rainy and the wind conditions are extreme. So, you know, I talked about, you know, the other – you had the Washington-Dallas game, which was the high-projected game of the week. But the other one, the sneaky one, was Seattle-Houston. And, you know, I talked about it in the Sunday note. I put a blurb about it. I was like, listen, you know – for cash games, consider this one. The weather's dry. It's going to be good conditions, and you have these explosive offenses. And I love the Seattle offense because they don't have running backs, so they have to throw for touchdowns. And, you know, this is the Deshaun Watson. And both of those wins came off of stacks of that game, which was pretty cool. So the people who won were stacking that game. And it was a classic, beautiful stack scenario, too. I loved it. Perfect.
I don't know if I talked to you during the week at all about this, but this was the weirdest week for me, watching my lines go up and down and eat each other up, because I took the kids looking at leaves. It's fall here in the Midwest, and we kind of do that. We go find a restaurant. We sit down, do a family time, good stuff. And I knew I was going to be away from Locke, and I knew I was exposed to those rainy games. And if nobody follows him, Mark is awesome. His Twitter handle is at NFLDFSweather, and he's a great follow. He's been in there all week talking about the rain. Okay, it looks a little late. He's timing it. He's telling you between this hour and this hour, the second half of the game's going to be sloppy. I mean, he's nailing it almost to the minute. And I couldn't get off it because we left. We, you know, went out of town on a drive and whatnot, and I didn't get any of that West Coast exposure, which totally blew because I liked the game. But as I was driving home, or as I was getting home and looking at some of those later games, my lineups are cannibalizing each other. I had Zeke in one and Le'Veon Bell in the other, and Zeke was doing great early on. That lineup was smashing across the board. I thought, this thing's going to be great. I had another one set up with Le'Veon Bell, and then as Le'Veon Bell got that early touchdown, it knocked the Zeke ones down and almost out of the money, but yet then he flatlined and didn't do anything the rest of the way to help me out. So he hurt me, but didn't help me enough for his own lineup that I had him in too. So it was like the weirdest thing. He just totally left me in freaking cash line purgatory. I was like, I missed the cash line by like 2 points everywhere. I was like, dude, you guys were supposed to help out, but whatever. What are you going to do? It's DFS. It's good fun.
Yeah. It's I was disappointed in Le'Veon Bell, quite honestly. I thought it was a much better spot than, I mean, you would think against the Lions, but, you know, that's what it is. But you got to play these stud running backs regardless. Just last week, it was McCoy and Zeke. So, hey, DraftKings didn't even have Le'Veon Bell on it, so you're clearly playing on FanDuel from what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. That late Sunday game, sure. I mostly do. And, I'll, you know, our VIPs know that I've run into, well, some of my YouTube and Twitter followers know I've run into some diatribes lately with the way DraftKings has been lately, and, you know, the way I do my contests, they don't really have a lot of the league play and stuff that I really, really depend on for my contest selection and stuff. So, you know, I'm kind of feeling my way out and reinventing myself over there. And until then, I'm largely over on FanDuel. But, you know, hell, it is what it is, man. This industry, it evolves, it changes, and we roll with the punches, and the cream always rises to the top. That's why we got the DFS Army for insight, for news, for advice, for all that stuff in that community. It just keeps thriving. So,
Let's jump right in.
Let's bounce into the games, dude.
Let's do this.
Awesome. Thursday night, we have Buffalo at New York. That's the game I'm showing. That's right? Yeah, Buffalo at New York, because we just picked up our boy K-Benj for the Buffalo Bills. We got a 42.5-point total, 3-point spread on the Buffalo Bills, road favorite. And that was really, I guess, my question is, does Kelvin Benjamin make Tyrod Taylor viable? Is this slate a fade only? Because I like ASJ on the one side. I don't think I'm going to touch K-Benj. So I'm going to let you kind of talk about those, and we'll see where you go and where you guide our guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a 42.5-point total, so it's pretty low. And it's a close spread. Bills favored by 3. I think this game, you know, it's a Thursday game, so always proceed with caution. But there are some fantasy interesting situations here that I'm looking at. Number one, I don't think that the Bills defensively are going to be as great on the road as they have been at home. And I think the Jets have a legitimate shot at playing a competitive game here, keeping it close, or even winning this one. And
does it play to the over?
You know, because it's Thursday, I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
It, potentially, if this was a Sunday game, I might be looking at it as maybe an over situation. But this is a Thursday game, and Thursday games are weird, and there's not that much time to game plan. But there are some fantasy potential here. I do like Tyrod Taylor. You know, I had to consider this game more heavily. See, when I look at the Monday-Thursday, I'm often just looking at the Monday-Thursday slate. So when I was considering this game initially, it wasn't, you know, as part of this big main slate. I usually find that there's rarely, like a game like this, I don't have any must plays for the main slate that's going to go between Thursday and Monday. So, but there are some interesting players in the Monday to Thursday contest, where the Monday game with the Chiefs and Denver looked like a defensive affair, which it was, and outside of a couple of spots like, you know, Kelce, which was a clear play, mm-hmm. and maybe a couple other spots that seem interesting.
The defense KC was one defense. We recommended.
Yeah, KC defense, of course. But mostly I didn't love that game for fantasy points potential because they're two incredibly solid defensive teams, so I went a lot with this game. And so I did a lot of study of this game, and certainly on the Jets side, you know, McCown is in play. He's playable. I'm not using him in main slate games. I know people are talking about how he's playable right. potentially as a punt every week. I'm not quite there yet. I don't think this matchup is really great for that. But on DraftKings, where we need some salary relief, I mean, Robbie Anderson, he's been getting a lot of targets. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to be just a little bit more efficient with them. Like early in the season, like he had a game, 12 targets, 4 receptions, you know, 6-3. He was at about a 50%, you know, 4-2 receptions, 8-4 receptions. So he was only at about a 50% reception rate. Then last week he comes out against Atlanta, 6-6. Wait a second. Week before that, 5-3. So, you know, a 60, 70% reception rate. Not bad. Now, again, we're looking for punt plays with some upside on DraftKings in particular. And so I don't mind Robbie Anderson, Austin Seferian Jenkins, you mentioned as well. He's just been great every single week. It's not like Seferian Jenkins has had bad games.
Right.
Every game he's
been pretty
good.
I just don't like that these guys are sitting on that Thursday game.
No, I don't love him for that reason, right? But I like Tyrod Taylor. I think LeSean McCoy is all-in material. Doesn't have to be all-in because there's three or four really, really other good situations. But like Kareem Hunt at Dallas, I think is your all-in play, like more so than this. But
okay,
more so than this one, I think you got to – this is the Kareem Hunt week and certainly Todd Gurley. There's some other ones that are interesting. Mark Ingram, you got to love – this week. So there's a few interesting running back spots, but McCoy is right up there. And I certainly was all in on him on the two game slate, 100% without question. I mean, that's no bold move. I mean, it was just pretty obvious. Outside of that, I mean, as far as Kelvin Benjamin goes, I'm not there yet. I feel like a player on a new team, whereas he wasn't doing anything with Carolina either. So I guess it's good that he has a new situation for himself. But I'm not comfortable rolling him out there just yet.
I agree 100%.
Although I will say DraftKings also has placed Benjamin, looks to be in the actual usable player pool. How interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing
just
that
for
now.
For those
I
of you that
sure.
want to that love to load up on that Thursday game. And
yeah. He appears to be in a usable asset on this player pool. But I think it takes a little more than like one day to get on the same page with a quarterback. So I'm not going
couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Who else do you like in this game, or can we move on?
I mean, the other, I guess, I think we can move on. Yeah, there's not that much goodness going on here.
All right, let's jump into Sunday. Denver Broncos visit the Philadelphia Eagles. And we 43.5 point total, 8-point favorites are the Philadelphia Eagles at home. And really, I guess there could be news everywhere. You know, Carson Wentz, the pickup of Jay Ajayi, and how that's going to balance all that stuff out. So I want your thoughts on that. But I noticed today that Brock Osweiler has been named the starter in Denver. What do we do there?
Eagles defense, baby.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, big time.
This is the same guy that made DeAndre Hopkins just about wrecked his career.
Yeah,
so.
Could we all remember that last season, DeAndre Hopkins went from unbelievable to he sucks now. This is the same guy that the Browns cut. The Browns cut him.
Osweiler nuked Nook. That's basically what he did.
So bad. So he's terrible. No. This game, listen, Denver plays good defense. This is a play to the under scenario. 43.5 points is probably too high. Because Denver's defense is very, very good. I think they're going to limit Philadelphia. I'm certainly fading Carson Wentz. All his pass catchers, none of it. I mean, Zach Ertz is most definitely playable. But outside of him, no one else on this Eagles offense is playable. Eagles defense, Zach Ertz, that's it. No one on Denver.
Okay. Let's leave it at that and move on.
Yeah.
That was quick and sweet. Let's get to the LA Rams.
That one's easy one, man. Play Zach Ertz against the Denver defense.
There you go.
See, Denver's going to stop the outside passing game. They're going to stop the run, so they're going to have to score with Ertz. But outside of that, I mean, Denver, ugh.
Yeah, no, that's how you attack Denver, absolutely. We've got them in our DVP chart as 29th against the tight end. So,
there it is.
You know, all Ertz. LA Rams at New York Giants. 42-point total, another low one. 3.5-point road favorites are the L.A. Rams. And looking at our DVP charts, the Rams are loaded with red, so it doesn't look like we're going to like any of the Giants unless you see a few that you like. And, that was the guy I was going to ask you about, was Todd Gurley. I mean, they're back off the bye. They feed him like crazy. Can we play them against the Giants that were supposedly this tough defense but haven't really turned out to be such?
The Giants are – there's more than meets the eye here. The Giants are actually in the midst of some chaos. This week, they suspended indefinitely Janoris Jenkins, who happens to be the best player on the team.
Oh, I did not pick up on that news.
Yes. And, like, what the hell is going on? So, being from New York, I'm hearing this on sports radio a lot about just general the team coming apart at the seams kind of talk. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, that's just really, really overblown. But it's kind of like not overblown. I mean, they are falling apart. 2 weeks ago, you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie getting suspended for something or another. We don't really know what. Was it Dominique Rodgers? Yeah. And then now, Janoris Jenkins just doesn't show up one day for practice. What player doesn't show up for practice? That never happens in the NFL. So this is, they don't like the coach. There's something going on in this locker room, and it's ugly. Now, can that turn around? At any moment, you never know. But this is not a good moment for it. The Rams bring a pretty stout defense. They were vulnerable to running backs earlier in the season, but they were just finding themselves. And they've now sort of come into their own. I forget some of the defensive players' names. I should be spouting, like Aaron Donald, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one that I know. The rest I don't remember anymore.
I
got off the Rams train when they left my town in St. Louis. Well, so see you, Rams.
Yeah, and then they left Oakland. I mean, these guys leave not Oakland.
They left L.A. They came to St. Louis, or they went to Oakland. They went back and came to St. Louis, and they've been moving all over the damn place.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all over the place.
They're nomadic.
We don't want to play any Giants here, or we don't want to get too excited about anybody on the Giants. Maybe Sterling Shepard. Again, I never want to turn away value plays. And, like, Orleans Dark War, like, on DraftKings is super cheap. And, you know, he's got to be in your player pool just for the fact that he's 3,800. And on draft, not a FanDuel play, but DraftKings, because he's gotten some targets. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, he had 21 touches against Denver. And, you know, he seems to be their favored running back of the minute. So, I mean, for that reason, you know, he could be in that flex punt discussion, I suppose, although I mean, there are much better plays right in the same price range, so I can't imagine.
You got to be making a few lineups if you're going to do that, though.
Yeah, in a lot. I mean, I'd probably rather play like Amir Abdullah for the same price on DraftKings. Not that I'm excited about Amir Abdullah, but, you know, for about the same price, and there's a couple other guys in that value range. But in general, the only real play that's exciting here is Gurley, and Gurley is the man, but it's not the greatest matchup in the world for him, but it's more of a play on how chaotic the Giants defense truly is, and that whole team environment, the team dynamic, how chaotic all that truly is at this moment. But outside of that, this game does not hold a lot of fantasy appeal. The Rams offense, as far as the passing offense, is just not appealing. And the Giants outside, I do like Evan Ingram. I've been enjoying Evan Ingram very much. So his price is a little inflated on some of the sites, but I don't mind getting some Evan Ingram exposure if I can. He's seeing a ton of looks.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Yeah, since Seattle, 12 targets. Since you know, the wide receivers for the Giants went down, I mean, he's kind of the man. And I believe Sterling Shepard is coming back too. But again, the Giants are at home, but they're a little bit of a chaotic team right now. Don't want to get too excited with them in cash games.
Well, let's move on to a bigger game, a juicier,
is it
sexier.
Juicier?
What's that?
Is it? this is a play to the under situation, but all right, hit me with it.
Sexier on paper. I'm going to throw in the paper. Tampa Bay New Orleans game.
Yes.
Tampa Bay down. You're saying play to the under. The total's 50. New Orleans 7-point favorite at home. That does lean Ingram to me, and I love running that guy. But this is a week where I might personally temper my expectations on the guy because there's only it's not. Don't get me wrong. It's not some great funnel defense, you know. But I think it's more that people don't run against the Buccaneers because they don't really have to, than it is that they're all that good because their secondary is just so bad. I think that they're pretty much all in play. If the running back gets targets, he's playable. But Ingram's price is up a little bit. He's been 3 weeks really, really solid since Peterson left town and whatnot. So you don't see this necessarily as a – you see this playing to the under? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think this is the perception and the reality is not correct for the Saints right now. We have a perception about the Saints as this team – that gets involved in these massive high-scoring affairs. That's a perception.
Mm-hmm.
The reality has not been the case for the Saints for the most part this season.
Certainly not the past few weeks.
Now, they've played pretty bad offenses for most of these games, so, you know, there's excuses, right? Well, they played Chicago. But it's not like the Saints were scoring huge. They played the Green Bay without Rodgers. They played Detroit, that was a high-scoring game. Miami sucks. Carolina sucks. New England put up some points. All right, so you're like, well, it's matchup-based. But that goes against the idea that even bad matchups are supposed to do well against this team. So, yeah, they're producing like a regular NFL defense, not like the Coors Field of football, as they say over there. So, they're not producing in that fashion anymore. As a matter of fact, the Saints defense is playing fairly well. Now, on the same token, the Bucs are not looking very good. And wait for it. Jameis Winston might not play this week. He's got that AC joint situation in his throwing shoulder. Something's off about Jameis Winston. And I'm going to give you his line from last week. So this is important stuff. What's going on with Jameis Winston? Well, last week, he got a 6.7. This is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, he got a 6. 2 weeks ago, he put up a 2. A fucking 2. All right, so I don't know who puts up numbers that bad. What goes on in these games? He put up a 2 when his team...
Jimmy Garoppolo could put up a higher score.
He came out of the game. So he came... Oh, that was a game he came... Yeah, I think... Yeah, Garoppolo this week could put up... All right. Let me paint the scary scenario. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It was just Halloween last night, dude. I'm all scared out.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very, very scary man. He's got a crazy beard. He throws interceptions like a lunatic. And he might be the quarterback this week. And my thing is this. When a quarterback has a throwing shoulder issue, AC joint, I don't even know what an AC joint is, right? But if I'm throwing footballs and my AC joint is not right, it's probably going to affect me. So yeah.
Probably makes you turn to another joint for pain, really.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, right? Wait, should I play my Cypress Hill song now?
Pick up on that, did you? Can't
run them on. So... I just gave you a little something. I don't know if you're... it's from the bong. All right, there
That's
it was
right.
again. So, where was I? If Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing, I want to be heavily invested in the Saints' defense because Fitzpatrick does not... he likes to throw to the other team. He's terrible. And so we really need to... But even if Winston plays, and this is my thing, I talked about this today on some different situations... You have a quarterback, a game time decision. Just don't play that guy. I don't sit here. The only time I'm worried 100%. About game time decisions, I don't worry about game time decisions because I want to play that player. I already know the fact that he's going to be doing warm ups and checking himself out and see if he could play. I'm not interested in playing that player regardless. The only reason I'm paying attention at that point is to know if his backup is going to play and I might want to play that guy. But I don't play game time decision players. And I do it as a policy. I do it a consistent thing so that I repeat the same thing over and over again, and over time it will benefit me. because you'll get burned by those guys. They'll come out quick. They'll go in the game. They'll come out, or they don't play. Any of those situations, I just don't do it. Yeah, sometimes that player goes off. Okay, I'll accept it.
That was a huge tip for people that may be listening to us for the first time, and not to throw it off the rails, we'll get right back on, but that was a huge tip where you make the same decision that leads to positive results over and over and over again, and while you may get burned by outlier performances a time or two here and there, over the long run, you are making the correct decision. Don't be so results-oriented. Do the right thing over and over and over again, and you shall succeed. Good tip.
The problem with what I just described, what people psychologically do is they do that, right? They're like, I'm going to fade, I'm going to fade this questionable guy. Kevin said to do it. I'm not going to play him. And then they're watching and that guy goes bananas 1 week, right? He's questionable. DeMarco Murray, he's not going to play. He's got a busted hammy. Oh, I'm going to play some, and then all of a sudden DeMarco Murray has the greatest game of the season that he has. And you're like, what the fuck? Game time decision. Screw that. I knew I should have played him. No. You shouldn't have played him. Because you only remember that. What you don't remember is the 12 other times when you faded the questionable guy and it worked out to your benefit. And then everybody who played him and got burned, you were sitting back going, what idiots. I can't believe they played that dude. He was questionable. But you forget that time. All you remember is the one time when Brandon Marshall goes off for 3 touchdowns on Monday Night Football on a gimpy ankle. And you're like, oh, man, I guess I should have played him. I fully faded that guy. That was really stupid. No, it wasn't. I mean, he got 3 receptions in the game. They just happened to be touchdowns. Like, it wasn't a bad move to fade that guy. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but you have to accept it. Say, I'm cool
Preach,
with that.
Brother.
Yeah.
Preach, brother. My fist is in the air right now. Yes. If I had a lighter.
Are you throwing your hands in the air and waving them like you just don't care? Yes.
Who else you like from this game so we can get back on the rails?
I do like Mark Ingram in this game because the Bucs are not good defensively at anything. And don't be so slave to those numbers, right? Just QB 32. Like, okay, we see it. So the Buccaneers are the worst team in the league against quarterbacks. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it makes Breeze maybe mildly interesting. Okay. Breeze to Michael Thomas, always interesting. Hasn't worked this year, but it's always interesting.
No, it has not.
And against a Bucs team that's not good.
But God, right?
That's what they always say.
I tell my guys all the time, if you're saying if and you're wondering, it's speculative, it's GPP.
Now, if I knew that this was the normal Bucs team with Jameis Winston at full health, I would be interested in Doug Martin here because he's cheap and he gets a full workload. And this is the Saints. And yes, they've been getting to the quarterback and doing that, but it's not like they're stopping the run. Teams are giving up on the run. But actually, a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure Aaron Jones went crazy against them. And that might be the way that a Bucs team attacks the Saints. It might be a very Doug Martin heavy thing. So I definitely am interested in Doug Martin for tournaments regardless. He's getting a lot of touches. Even in a losing effort last week, down big, he got 18 carries, 4 targets in a couple targets in the passing game. Week before that, 20 carries. Hasn't done a whole lot. Hasn't gotten into the end zone yet this year. But he got in the end zone. He did get a couple touchdowns earlier, but hasn't in the last few weeks. He hasn't had a breakout game. But you could have said that about Lamar Miller last week, and it was the worst ever matchup against Seattle. Yeah. And he had a very big game. Actually, the Domination Station really liked Lamar Miller, which was weird. And I was like, I'm unchecking that dude.
I thought that thing was full of shit. Serves me right.
Never
dude,
doubt
I
the
was
projections.
Like, no!
Never doubt
Exclude.
The projections. Doubt them.
Doubt them at your own peril.
But when you see a player projected well, and we think, oh, this guy's not in a good spot at all. You know, it behooves you to think again about it and say, what am I missing here?
I was still smashing the button. I was like, get him out, get him out,
yeah,
get him
too.
Out. I don't want to believe it. See you.
Fully unchecked but him.
I saw a couple TDs. I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, domination. They freaking knew again. I'm like, I can't make this lineup with Lamar Miller in the flex. That's ridiculous.
I know, it's so stupid.
It's like Joe Mixon, LeSean McCoy, and Lamar Miller. What a terrible trio. Yeah. Nuts.
Right, how'd that work for you?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyone else from this game you see it playing to the under?
I do think it's playing to the under. So what that basically means is, listen, I'm not stacking up this game. No way. Saints play well, but again, Doug Martin's interesting. Certainly, Mark Ingram's very interesting, and some contrarianism with Breeze and his pass catchers, of course, but that's about it.
What about Saints defense if Fitzpatrick starts?
100,
or Dallas Winston starts. Any of them.
I like Saints defense here no matter what.
Spread.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I like them no matter what. They are definitely, the Saints this week are definitely in the mix of defenses that are in play. There are, I mean, the Eagles are more dramatically obvious, but there's a couple of other obvious ones, but the Saints are definitely on the list.
Cool. Let's move on and pick up some speed. Cincinnati Bengals at Jacksonville. Jacksonville coming off the bye week. We've got, what, a 39.5? They do have a 4.5-point favorite, for the home team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm pretty sure that we're not going to be running Andy Dalton against that secondary, and we're not going to be running any of his pass catchers really in this matchup other than for long shot tournament plays. But are we interested in anybody else other than Leonard Fournette, and are we even interested in him?
Yeah, I mean, Fournette is more of a – I would put him in the GPP contrarian stud category. Like, if I need to pay up for a running back, but I want to avoid the guys in better spots for because some people are into that sort of thing in tournaments, then, yeah, Fournette. I mean, he's done well in difficult matchups all season, and why not? Flip side is, you know, I guess maybe Joe Mixon's kind of in a similar situation. The Jags, for as good as they are against pass catchers, they do funnel to the running back position quite a bit, and they're actually the worst in the league as far as the fantasy points allowed to the running back position. So, yeah, I mean, I would, in a GPP-only scenario, consider someone like Mixon. Let's just price range. $5,000, still relatively inexpensive by DraftKings standards. So, I mean, it's not a play I'm going to be excited for. This game is going to be, is projected to be very low scoring, very kind of boring. So it's not something where I'm going to get excited about it. But, I mean, I think if you absolutely needed a low-owned, you know, contrarian play, I guess you could do worse than Joe Mixon. But that's about it for this entire game. The Bengals defense is good. The Jags defense is good. The projection is low. I don't think it's going to be some over situation. So for me, it's something just to avoid.
Who, Jags defense or Saints defense, which would you rather play?
Saints.
Okay.
You give me Ryan Fitzpatrick or a busted shoulder Jameis Winston, but especially okay. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is in, I might just go all in on the Saints because that's my feel. I have strong feelings of dislike to Ryan Fitzpatrick as a Jets fan. I watched him play, like I know him, and he is so bad.
So did we in St. Louis under Mike Martz. He was Mike Martz's golden boy.
Yeah, no, he's really bad.
And they got Martz fired, but whatever. Well, almost. I think it was Bulger got him fired. But anyway, Atlanta Falcons at Carolina Panthers, 43.5 points, 1-point spread. This one's close on both sides, but it's not super high scoring. This is a division game, of course, and we know that Atlanta Falcons have been a little bit subpar. They scored last week, though. They're going into Carolina, who just gave up Kelvin Benjamin. We don't know what Cam's going to do, although they're all in good spots. It seems to me that the best spot might be Christian McCaffrey, but, I mean, are we even going to play any of these guys?
I mean, I have to say this. This will be McCaffrey's best spot of the entire season.
Coming out party? If he's going to have one?
If he's going to have one, this is the best spot for him all
year. Does he see paint?
What's that?
Does he see paint?
I think he's finally going to score a touchdown. The Falcons are specifically known. Specifically for getting burned by pass catching tight ends. Mm-hmm. And this is not this season. This is a multi generational, and by that I mean last season and this year too.
Not your grandpa's Falcons.
No. Not my grandma. A multi generational trend last year and this year, where they just get torched. We saw it in the Super Bowl with Jameis, but that was an all season thing. We all saw James White in the Super Bowl. But that's not what I'm referring to. This went back. right? And so it's almost like the Panthers drafted Christian McCaffrey just for this game. And then they got rid of that.
Two games against the Falcons.
They only had one or two other people that they threw to on the entire team, and they just traded one of them away. So now it's basically the Funchess and Christian McCaffrey. You know how you know when a guy's in a good spot? If DraftKings jacks up the salary after they didn't do shit the week before. And Christian McCaffrey's coming off a week where he didn't do shit. And all of a sudden his salary went up. Thank you, DraftKings, for being sharp DFS players. Like, they outthink you at DraftKings. And they find these great situations where I'm like, 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I just hope that Christian McCaffrey has two bad weeks so that when the Atlanta Falcons game comes around,
DraftKings salary didn't comes care.
In. No, DraftKings said, oh yeah, no, he had two bad weeks. And we're jacking up the salary. Sorry. That's right. So, really.
You're on fire tonight.
Why are you doing this? Because it's frustrating that every time you think, oh, I know, 2 weeks from now, I kept thinking, you know, rubbing my hands together like Mr. Burns.
I could hear you doing it.
Yes. Must use McCaffrey against Falcons. And then, you know, they go
when
and
he's
they
like
jack up the
$18,000.
Why are they doing this? So this guy hasn't had a game. But this is his spot. Listen, there's no more Kelvin Benjamin. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go banana. Listen. The salary is so freaking high that you almost can't play him from what he's done. But, you know, as far as and that's just looking at DraftKings. FanDuel's super reasonable price, and he's definitely playable on FanDuel.
But he's got to get in the end zone on FanDuel, doesn't he?
He does, but at 6,100, not necessarily. I mean, he's had you always want somebody who gets a touchdown, but I just need those opportunities, and I think the touchdowns will come. And the Falcons are just so bad against these pass catchers. They don't know how to cover them, or they haven't traditionally, that, you know, this is the kind of situation we look for. And, again, you pull Kelvin Benjamin out, and where are those eight targets going? I mean, I literally don't know the name of the other wide receiver.
You know what? He hit something I saw. I'll bet you I can find him. Boy, I am going to introduce some crickets to
Philly
the air
Brown?
Right now.
I mean, like, I still remember Philly Brown.
No, Russell Shepard.
Shepard, okay. So, Shepard is interesting.
Russell Shepard, 4,800 on FanDuel.
How about 3,100 on DraftKings? Let's see what Shepard's done all season.
We haven't had nothing, probably. We haven't had a sub-4K receiver worth a shit on DraftKings in a few weeks.
A couple of them have come through, but it's been really tough. Like,
they've
come through.
Paul Richardson, but none of them you were.
Yeah, I mean,
none of them you were excited about going into the week. You still felt like you were kind of going into the game holding your left nut, just like, please, 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 you know, don't cut the other one off, please. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough spot.
I got to be honest, I'm not excited about Russell Shepard either. But
I thought you were going to say you weren't excited about holding your left nut.
No, or that. But certainly not Russell Shepard. And, you know, but, yeah, for 3,100 on DraftKings, like I said, I mean, you got to afford some players and you have to take a chance. And why not? I mean, he's in a new role, potentially, maybe some higher volume. And there could be some other wide receiver on this team. Like, what if Curtis Samuel becomes a wide receiver? I don't know.
This is the kind of game that if it was on a two-game primetime slate, I mean, it's like the fifth-string practice squad guy would find a way onto a lineup, and that would be in the nuts. I mean, it's just
there's no
this
doubt
is the kind of
that some
shit that happens.
Yeah, that some random wide receiver for Carolina, and it could be a guy that we don't even know who he is. It could be just some random name we don't even never heard of it. Like, I don't know, Kalen Clay. Oh yeah, who's this guy? I don't know.
You're scrolling a depth chart right now, aren't you?
I am looking at the depth chart, and quite honestly, after Russell Shepard, it's Curtis Samuel and Kalen Clay, and that's it. They don't have anyone. So I'm sure they are elevating somebody from the practice squad, but, I mean, they don't have a lot of pass catchers. So it makes me also interested in Dixon, just who the other – anytime a situation changes midweek and new things are happening, and that messes with – the algorithms, the salary algorithms, they don't have a chance to sort of catch up with that news. We haven't had a lot of these situations this season at all.
Like, no, we have not.
In most years, almost every single week, some running back gets hurt late, his replacement becomes a starter, and it happens all after the lock, and you get a $4,000 Jerick McQuinnen, J-Rock McQuinnen situation, but we haven't seen it. It's just outside of the Jerick McKinnon situation, we haven't seen a whole lot of it. And that includes whoever the hell the committee of turds that are going to be running for Miami wind up being this week.
The committee of turds. Do you like any Atlanta Falcons, or are you just kind of just off of them for now?
I think you have to consider Julio Jones.
Oh my God.
And Sanu. There's no reason not to play these guys.
When are we going to put that horse out the pasture?
Well, Jones has come down in salary to the point where he's now like fairly reasonably cheap. So he's $7,900 on FanDuel this week. Not bad. He's in the sevens. $7,800 on DraftKings.
Yeah, $7,900 on FanDuel.
It's not a good matchup, but so what? I mean, anytime you can get a stud, listen, anytime you can get a stud for a reasonable price, it's worth thinking about. I think he's in better spot than Mike Evans and AJ Green and maybe even Mike Thomas. So basically today, this week, you're making a decision between should I pay up all the way up for DeAndre Hopkins? Should I pay up for Will Fuller and his only catching touchdowns? Or, you know, maybe one of these guys. So, you know, there's some possibilities here and some interesting things.
I hope I remember it when we get to the Texans. I got something for you.
Nice. All right, so what else? That game, yeah, I don't mind. I mean, I'm not going to get excited for it. It's not an exciting game. It's low scoring. But it doesn't mean that there's no plays in there. But definitely no elite plays.
Okay.
Outside of maybe Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Other than maybe McCaffrey, cool. Yeah. Let's go to Indianapolis at Houston. Hey, there's the Texans.
Uh-huh.
50-point favorite. Now.
No, it's a. Okay. Is it up to 15 at this point?
50.
No, the spread is 50 point total. Yeah, and the spread is 13.
Spread is 13 in favor of Houston. I know the Houston Texans are going to be chalk everywhere. You mentioned the Will Fuller thing, and I'm thinking to myself, if you have a dude who gets two targets or three targets for two touchdowns every fucking week, why don't you start throwing to him eight times?
Eight touchdowns?
Why don't you start throwing to him 12 times, go 12, you know, 10 touchdowns for 12
maybe,
targets? I mean,
maybe
that's his ratio.
Realistically, last week, eight targets, five receptions, 125 yards, two touchdowns.
I keep waiting for this dude to regress, and he's just not doing it. He is now very expensive.
Yeah,
rightfully so.
Up, man, I everybody should regret not taking advantage of the Texans last week, like that last chance that you had to get them at cheap pricing, because everybody on this team $7,800
on FanDuel now.
Yeah, but we're rightfully so. The team, this quarterback is special. I said it.
$7,800 on FanDuel. You know what? I've been talking to people for 4 or 5 weeks. Get off this dude. He's going to regress. You know what? Please follow me on Twitter. Come sign up for DFS Army on my behalf and tell everybody that I sent you, because apparently I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Wait, you were saying fade this guy? Then we're not going to get any members.
Four weeks ago, I'm like, after the second week or third week of the season, I'm like, just fade him. His touchdowns, was he going to get 4 or 5 a year? And, I mean, he's already got 3 of them, so he's going to regress. It's not going to be worth a shit. And the next thing you know, I mean, dude has, like, doubled that. It's just, like, it's sick. I've not been more wrong on any player in my life.
I don't know why you hated him so much. And I got to tell you.
Just low targets. He got red zone targets, but low targets. And he just, everything was a touchdown. And I was like, this cannot continue. It's not sustainable. Well, it is.
Magic happened on the Sunday or Monday night game when Houston played the Chiefs. And you saw the best, the Chiefs, who have been, you know, an undefeated, this great team, a wonderful defense. And I saw them putting pressure on Watson. And the way that he was cool under pressure was unlike any rookie that I can remember watching. And I said, this guy is not playing like a rookie. And that was the next week we're like all in on Deshaun Watson. Because that was the week when he, obviously everybody else saw that game, whenever he was chalk and whatnot. But it continues. It continues.
Yeah,
this
no,
is a special
kid. I wasn't saying get off Watson. If I said that, I misspoke.
No, I agree with you on Fuller too. I was not on the Fuller train. I mean, because I like Hopkins, but Hopkins is still the main guy, and Fuller's the secondary guy, and
God,
that's how it's
going to
be.
He's 9,000 now, though.
It's going to be
and
tough.
And Deshaun is 9,600 or something. I mean, it's insane.
They jacked up his salary to the point where they made it difficult. As much as we all want to load up on these two.
Once again, rightfully so. This is what the industry is supposed to do to make it a hard game.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you like any? I think it is. Anyway, do you like any of the Colts?
No, I mean Jack Doyle maybe. I don't know who's the quarterback for the Colts this week. Have they even announced it? They said they weren't committing. They were interviewing. I mean, if it's Brissett, I mean, I guess you could play Jack Doyle, but I mean. Houston's really good against tight ends, and one other. I mean, in my season long league, I'll probably start Marlon Mack because I don't have a choice. But he's doing all right the last few weeks. They're going away from Gore a little bit, and you know they're behind, and they get the pass catching sort of scat back going in there. So maybe that, but really no, this is not a good situation for the Colts. As a matter of fact, Houston defense. Lamar Miller's absolutely playable here.
Okay, I was gonna say, you're going back to the well there.
Yes.
Is he cash safe?
The way he's getting looks right now, he is. But if
I think he kind of has to be, doesn't he? 13-point spread, 50-point total. I mean, it should go their way, and he's been getting some volume. I mean, key volume. So I mean, him and he's got to be. I would think, but he has a knack for vanishing.
Depends on the price point, obviously. That's always a factor. Let's see, Lamar 6,200. I mean, they jacked up his salary, so it's not as exciting.
Yeah, 7,500 on FanDuel. I was gonna say I expect it to be up there on DraftKings because they're more dynamic with their pricing than FanDuel usually. So,
Jacked him up, and now he's showing he's questionable with a knee. So let's see what's up with that. But let's not forget that Miller, outside of last week's game, and there was another good game earlier this season. So he's had two good games, and the rest is almost exactly 10 points a game. So this is not a consistent guy who's even bringing cash value on a week-over-week basis. You know, he's very touchdown-dependent. I don't know why he doesn't do better. He hasn't broken 100 yards rushing or gotten anywhere near it all season. He gets a lot of touches, but, you know, his average yards per carry isn't great. So, you know, he's not the kind of guy that I want to pay a lot of money for in DFS.
Okay. That's why I asked the question, because he's in a cash safe spot, but is he cash safe? I mean,
you know, again, that comes back to his salary, and I think it's a little too high on both sides. Perfect. And again, nothing going on for the Colts here. Nothing. They are depressing.
Let's move to Baltimore. This is the last 1 p.m. game, Baltimore Ravens at Tennessee Titans. 43-point total, 5.5-point favorite for the Tennessee Titans. What do you like out of this game? Because I personally don't see a ton.
Is Flacco even playing? I don't know what the deal is with Flacco, if he's concussed right now.
Dude still thinks he's at a Celine Dion concert, dude. He got hit so hard.
That was a dirty.
It was. I didn't like it either. Hit. But dude, if you ask him who the president was, I mean, Hillary might have come out of his mouth. Who knows?
That was a dirty hit. I'm sorry.
And it's a dirty joke too, but whatever.
It is a ridiculous joke, but it definitely that I was watching. I'm like, how are they not ejecting this guy from this game?
I thought the same.
A scumbag. So, I thought that was very, very dirty stuff. That said, I don't know the situation with Flacco. Without knowing that, I don't even know how to treat the Ravens very much. I like Alex Collins. I like what I saw out of him last week. And, you know, he could be relatively cheap. And certainly the Tennessee Titans defense is nothing to get scared about. Any position, you know, they're average against running backs. So, I mean, if he's a super punt, Collins, again, this is one of those weeks that I seem to repeat all the time where DraftKings salary algorithm is fairly difficult. There's no free square floating around. So, yeah, I mean, Alex Collins had 18 touches last week, albeit, and keep this in mind, in a blowout win that was as advantageous to his game flow requirements as could possibly be. So if we think that the Ravens are going to blow out and really just own this game.
Yeah, Tennessee at home.
Then, yeah, I could have played Alex Collins. The problem is I don't think the Ravens Joe Flacco are going to do that. So therefore, I don't love the Alex Collins play because he doesn't really catch a lot of passes. Yes, he's caught some passes, but it's not what they use him for. They have another guy for that, Buck Allen. So, you know, it's super GPP only kind of like play for the blowout thing. But I don't like it if Flacco is out. I like winning teams. I like quarterbacks on. I like running backs on winning teams in particular. And I'm not sure.
Where are you going with the Titans then?
Do I have to go with the Titans? I don't really want to go with them at all.
Okay, cool. I mean, the only one I saw playable on that side of the game was Delanie Walker.
I don't see that anyone playable on that side of the field. No one.
Only because Baltimore's been bad against tight ends. But other than
Walker has still got a questionable tag. They didn't play last week. Like,
I'm not excited about it. I'd play others way.
Yeah, what's going on with his health? So, I mean, again, it's that thing I told you before. I'm trying to avoid. Like, I did the stupid. Thank goodness I shifted off of a lot of it on Sunday with the rain. But I was like, I want Jordan Reed all week. But he looks so good when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when that rain started coming down, I was like, you know something? When you have a glass.
Creaky joints.
Yeah, when you have glass knees and, you know, it's a little wet out and a little slippy, you know, there's a high chance of re-injuring something or another. And, of course, that's what happened to him. Damn.
Let's do the Sunday 4 p.m. games. We got the leadoff is the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49. Ugh, do we have to talk about this game? 39.5 point total, 2-point spread for the road favorite Arizona Cardinals. There is a lot of green over there on the San Francisco side, but is there anybody on the Arizona Cardinals right now that can take advantage of it?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, over all of these other games? I mean, if you're playing the 4 p.m. only slate, I get it. But if you're on the main slate and you've got, you know, 8-10 games to pick from, are you even looking at this game?
There are some considerations. Nothing super exciting. Like, I thought about early in the week when before some stuff was going on or when I thought maybe, like, Garoppolo was going to play. I had these thoughts about Carlos Hyde being interesting here with Arizona playing the backup quarterback and maybe not going to be so good. To the point where the 49ers might be able to stay in it. But I think Beathard is so bad that the Cardinals won't need to have a good quarterback play in order to beat them. They can just hand it off, play good defense, score on defense, and just hand it to Adrian Peterson. So
Adrian Peterson... Did San Francisco just trade for somebody or pick up somebody?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then it was Hoyer that went to the Pats?
Oddly, they cut Hoyer, and then Hoyer, the Pats picked him up. So
it's a weird, yeah. It
wasn't yeah, they trade, exchanged, basically, the Patriots got a backup quarterback. Well, no, the Patriots got a backup quarterback, and the 49ers got a starter. As a matter of fact,
here's my poo starter. For your slightly less stinky poo.
No. Garoppolo is not bad. He's a very good player. He's going to be a very good starter for this team. The problem is it takes more than a week to get the hang of a different offense.
But about Matt Castle.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You had a bad experience, but Kansas City. But my thing is no. I think Garoppolo actually is good. I've seen him play more on multiple occasions, and he looks like a veteran quarterback out there. He looks like a guy who can play in this league and who can start. I think actually the acquisition of Garoppolo, the 49ers are going to want to get him going and just see what they have because they're likely to have a top three or four pick in the draft and there are three or four young quarterbacks coming out, so they got to figure out what they're going to do. But unfortunately, that's going to take more than a week or so to happen, and they have said that he's probably not going to start this week, so unfortunately, it leaves me a little baffled. I think the running games for both teams are potentially playable, but nothing I'm going to get super excited about. Let's put it that way. There's another game coming up that interests me more.
Well, let's see if it's not the Washington Redskins at the Seattle Seahawks. That's just the next one on the docket. I have no idea how you feel about that game. 45-point total, 7-point spread in favor of the Seattle Seahawks. Are we going back to the Russell Wilson well? Oh, say that five times fast. And do we trust Washington on the road? I know it's East versus West instead of West versus East, but the whole point is, I mean, what are we doing here, and are we excited about it?
I'm pretty excited. I like this game, and I like the Seattle offense. One of the things I probably talk about way too often on this podcast is how much I love teams that don't have running backs. And
that's
Seattle
almost,
doesn't have any
running backs. That's almost both of these teams.
Both of these teams don't have running backs, which is why I've been riding. The problem with the Cousins train is, like, you don't know who the hell he's going to throw to. But as far as Seattle goes, we do pretty much know who Russell Wilson's going to throw to. He's got his foursome. I know there's a word that starts with a quad, quadrangle, I don't know. But he's got his fearsome foursome over there.
Quad core is what I'd call.
You know, Doug Baldwin disappointed a little bit last week. I always liked stud players in a bounce back game. So, yeah, let's roll out some Baldwin. Now, if Norman is himself and he's going to shadow, and we don't know that he will do that. Last week, apparently, he did not fully shadow Dez Bryant in that game. Not that Dez did anything. I was happy we faded him. But it's not like he did anything in that game. But if Norman is back, who's he going to be on? Is he going to be on the outside wide receivers? Is he going to find his way onto, you know, Paul Richardson or Tyler Lockett? Or is he going to be on Doug Baldwin? Now, if he's not on Baldwin, then I expect a big game from Doug Baldwin. And if he is on Baldwin, I expect big games from Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett. So I'm just going to follow that scenario and try to figure this out over the course of this week and figure out what's going on with Josh Norman. Is he fully healthy? Because last week he was a little under the weather. But yeah, the main side I like is the Seattle side and the Seattle passing game. I'm definitely comfortable with Russell Wilson in this one. Again, yeah, I get it. The Redskins have not been, like, super, super weak defensively. They're not the same Redskins team they were, you know, last year and the year before, where it was these high-flying affairs every single week and they couldn't stop anyone. Yeah, they've gotten a little better on defense, which is great for them. Stay in the game longer, but this is the Seahawks at home.
If you had to build one lineup, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson?
Oh, Deshaun Watson by a mile.
Even at his price?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, we're not really, like, we try to talk about pricing a little bit on this pod, but, you know, if you're going to ask me who the best quarterback safest this week is, it's Deshaun Watson straight up.
Okay. I was just thinking, it's, well, price dependent for me usually, because that's what I think makes it intriguing is the price is $1,000 cheaper for Wilson.
If you're comparing the pricing, then yeah, it gets interesting, but I mean, it's Deshaun Watson. His floor is I love Russell Wilson here too. I mean, you know, we got to look at the salary discrepancy and the numbers and the projections and see how that works. But, you know, it's funny. I get the question, hey, who should I use? And then you'll hear two players priced like wildly different. I'm like, and normally my answer is, I don't know how to compare these two guys. You're asking me about LeSean McCoy and, like, Doug Martin. Like, you know.
Right.
Come on. It's a big salary discrepancy. Like, are you asking me? And a lot of times, you know, it's not phrased in a certain way. So, same sense here. Certainly, Deshaun Watson is the number one projected quarterback on the slate. But is he the best value on the slate? I don't know.
Okay. Well, it also depends on what you fit around him. How do you feel
about
Jimmy
Graham? By the way, according to our projections, even at 8,100 on DraftKings, Deshaun Watson is pretty much the best value on the slate. So
I'm seeing that even on FanDuel at 9,600, that he is still a value. Yeah. And that's why I bring that up, because anytime you get – you, if I can spend, you know, $5,000 and lock in, say, you know, 3x points, I mean, to use the silly multiplier, or, you know, if I knew the guy was going to get 3x, I'd rather spend $20,000 for the guy, because 3x is 3x. So when you're buying up those points, that's of course why it's not linear too, but as you're buying up those points, you're paying up in salary. A lot of times you're bringing up your floor too, and, you know, deeper discussion for a deeper pod, but the whole point is, if I can get it locked in and that guy's still a value at that high price, yes, I want to pay up. I want to pay more for that guy because I'm getting even more points for that price. So, but anyway, you didn't mention Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham also. I said the fearsome foursome.
You said Quad Corps. You mentioned the others by name. I felt Jimmy texted me. He said he's feeling a little left out. So.
No, Jimmy. Jimmy, they were talking about trading him, and you know, he doesn't have a ton of target volume, and all of that. You just never know.
Jimmy's still left out. You know, Jimmy's a little sweet on Elaine. You know, so
Yeah, I remember that. I totally know what you're talking about.
Jimmy's down.
I remember that. I totally remember that. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Graham had that big week last week, but I mean, it took him 2 touchdowns to get to 19 fantasy points. It's not gonna, you know, if he doesn't get a touchdown, he's under 10, and the 5,000 is a bit much. Like his ceiling is 4 times salary this season, so basically he doesn't ever return tournament value, or he hasn't all season long. So, I mean, do with that what you will. I'm not a Jimmy Graham believer right now just because he hasn't delivered.
Sure. Makes sense. I just wondered because he's in a good matchup, so I wondered how high you were on him. Let's move on. Let's move to Kansas City and Dallas, unless there's anything you want to say about the previous game.
I just want to go back to the Jimmy Graham thought. I do agree in the sense that he does have a good matchup, and the Redskins have been a funnel to the tight end defense. So, you know, in that sense, as far as the matchup goes, as you mentioned that, yeah, it looks good for Graham. But again, it looked really good for Graham against the Giants and a few other situations where it hasn't been great. So I like him here, but he's a little expensive for me for what he's done all season. That's where I'm going
to
end that.
You're sitting pretty much right where I am. That's why I wanted to bring it up and make sure I got it mentioned on the pod. So
next is game of the week.
I will text him back and say, Jimmy, he doesn't like you. Go away.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. I'll kick my ass.
All right. Chiefs at the Cowboys. Like you said, game of the week. 51-point total, 1-point spread. If there is ever a shootout on paper, this has to be it. High-flying offenses, defenses that allow points in both directions. I'm going to say play them all. I'm going to do your little bit here and say stack it up, stack it in, and then let you begin.
This is not – yeah, I mean, stack it up. Game stacks, right? Just like last week we had that with Seattle, Deshaun. Game stacks. Kansas City. Happens to have a tight end that's pretty good in Travis Kelce, right? Well, Dallas happens to be pretty bad against tight ends, 31st in the league, as a matter of fact. You know what else Dallas is bad against? Everything. But running backs. 31st in the league. So, hello, Kelce. You know, unfortunately, the Cowboys are so bad defensively that there's not like an area where you're like, oh, you know, like last week I knew to go all in on Kelce because Denver stops outside wide receivers. So it's like, yeah, I mean, it's very unlikely that Tyreek Hill is going to have this big game. Right?
Yeah, this week you don't know that.
You don't know. I mean, so I was like, okay, I'll just load up on Travis Kelce, and it's fine. This week it's Kelce. It's Hunt.
It's Hill.
Tyreek. It's all three of them.
Potentially Conley.
Well, yeah, I mean, Conley, yeah, right?
In your deep, deep GPP
type
stuff.
We're going real deep. Yeah, Deontay. Yeah, no, but you get the idea.
Conley might certainly still be out.
Alex Smith, usable.
Yeah, absolutely.
More exciting. Now, if this was a home game for Kansas City, you generally don't want to target teams on the road at Kansas City. It's just not a good idea. But this is a home game for Dallas. Dallas has just lost Zeke for the next 6 weeks. We're still trying to figure out who the primary running back is for the Cowboys. Right now it looks like it's going to be Alfred Morris, but I'll believe it when I see it. Unfortunately, both Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden are super volume dependent. And if they're splitting carries, actually, it will pretty much devalue the entire backfield to the point where they'll be unusable. So considering I'm holding both Morris and Murray on every fantasy bench, somebody offer me something. Where's the Zeke owner? How come the Zeke owner hasn't offered me anything? Like, yeah, right, he's available. Kid. No? No interest? That's a shame. So, 51 points, massive total, super close game. On paper, Vegas. This is the Vegas Lines podcast. And I'm going to tell you that you couldn't ask for a better Vegas line than what we're looking at here. 51 total, 1-point spread. Dallas is going to have to throw it. They don't have running backs. Hello, Dez. Hello, other guys who catch passes for Dallas. Cole Beasley. Terrence Williams, I can't get on board. I'm sorry. That dude has not had a big game in ever.
You're right.
Never. I've been watching him for years. Did he have one 20-point game 2 years ago? Maybe. But that was it. And Dez was hurt, and everybody else was hurt, and he was the only wide receiver, and he got 20 targets and caught 8 passes.
Last big game Terrence Williams had, frickin' Deshaun Watson was in high school.
Seriously. So, I mean, yeah, but Beasley, Witten, it's all hands on deck for Dallas. They're going to have to everybody get together. Now, again, Kansas City's a good defensive team, so it's a little surprising this crazy high total, but I think Kansas City is going to dominate this game. So, you know,
end it, Kareem don't Hunt, break, man.
Kareem Hunt got to get some shares. Travis Kelce, always. Love Kelce, always, every week. And, you know, Ty Freak, sure. I'll take some shares of him, too. So, really, really good game to game stack. Use different combinations, things like that.
Hunt catches some passes. Travis Kelce, Ty Freak definitely catch pass. Sounds like Alex Smith is in a spot where you could almost, I hate to say you could run him naked, but in this particular game,
I don't think you need to go. I don't think you need to do that because you can pair him up with Kelce, you can pair him up with Hill. You can make a choice. If one of those two guys is not, if neither of those two guys is having a big game, then chances are Alex Smith probably isn't because he's not throwing to Conley.
Right.
For big scores. Now, sometimes...
Ooh, is this a game where you'd run them both, Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt?
I don't have a problem with that. Take advantage of all the touchdowns.
We've done that very successfully this year as a group. A lot of Dak and Zeke, you know, and you get a piece of every touchdown pretty much across the board. Give me your thoughts on Dak before we move on. With missing Zeke, do you think that improves or devalues Dak's games? I butchered that one. Do you think that improves or devalues Dak's game?
Definitely improves it. Because he's going to be forced to throw.
Forced him to throw?
Yeah, they still have a running back that's serviceable, but now he's forced to throw. And he gets now we get Dak in a show me what you got situation. I think he's got it. That's why I think it's good. He hasn't thrown because he hasn't scored big. They score nicely, but they haven't scored. It helps Dez. They haven't scored nicely because, you know, when you can hand it to Zeke and he gets in the end zone, then you don't need to do other things. It's good. I'm fine.
Okay.
But now that they can't do that, he's going to be forced to throw, and he has the talent. And this isn't the greatest matchup he's going to have. I mean, it's fucking Kansas City. They're a good team, great defense, but they're on the road, and I think Dak is good. And they have that great offensive line that keeps him protected. So it will negate a little bit of the Kansas City pass rush. Casey, I think they might have benched. They did some changes to their secondary this week. And, you know, it'll be Marcus Peters on Dez most likely, and Peters is pretty good, blah, blah, blah. Whatevs. Playing him.
Wow, that's bold because the book on Dez is fails in elite matchups, meaning elite corners, not crappy corners.
I'm not a believer that Marcus Peters is actually an elite corner.
Thank you. I've been saying it for weeks.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in that. I know that teams don't throw his way and he's supposedly the shutdown guy and whatever, but, you know, I'm just not a believer that he is definitely the shutdown corner that needs to be avoided.
Then we'll see which of those theories works out. Is Marcus Peters decent and therefore Dez disappears a la his reputation? Or does Dez beast?
They switch the size because I don't think Peters is a shadow corner anyway. You know, and so you can line up Dez where you want. Like if Dallas is a creative team, they will get Dez the ball. I super regret not playing Fuller because I was like, well, Richard Sherman's going to be on him and the matchups say that's bad, but I mean, sometimes you got to not worry about it too much and just go for it. Just play some of these guys in situations where even if the matchup isn't perfect, the situation is so much better than it's been for Dez. The forced throws, the need to have him catch touchdowns because they might not be able to just run it with Zeke, you know, in the red zone for touchdowns. I think that's a overall improvement, and his price has come down significantly to the point where it's really playable again.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough with me. Anything else to say about this game? Because I don't see us spending a lot of time on the next two.
Kansas City and Dallas, no, it's a good game. Stack it up. You can't ask for more, and there's nothing to be afraid of defensively from either team.
Perfect. Perfect. So now we'll get you your 8 minutes.
I do
back
like this.
Because we'll go to these next games. Do you like these games?
I like one of them.
Okay.
Well, I like this one.
Okay. The next one's Oakland Raiders at Miami Dolphins. 44-point total, 3-point favorite for the Roquel. This is rematch of week one when Irma blew through town. I wanted to ask you one question about this, and I'll let you take it over, because I keep seeing this Kenyon Drake pop up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, league minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Should be getting the work.
Maybe.
Do we know he's going to get the work? Is it enough that in a price-starved environment, I mean, even FanDuel's a little bit tougher this week because a lot of these running backs are either dogs or they're on the road and their game scripts are not necessarily set up perfectly for them to just run two big studs. We do need a little bit of value. Is he worth taking a shot at 4,500 in cash or even more conservative hybrid-type situations? Or would you just
I need to see some words from the coaching staff, at least at the very least telling me that Kenyon Drake is the actual starter. Because there's two other running backs, and any one of them can emerge as the guy. Okay. And it might be none of them. And it might be a wait-and-see scenario. I think the wait-and-see scenario is probably the most likely. At some point, you know, you can't roll out a Kenyon Drake in a cash game not knowing if he's going to get the touches. We need to know that our cash plays are going to get a reasonable minimum number of touches in order to at least have a shot of making value. And we don't know that about Kenyon Drake. So, you know, we can guess and we can assume and maybe. But until the coaches or somebody says something, we don't know that. I wish I could tell you I knew that. I don't. I mean, there's Damian Williams. There's another practice squad guy. I'm a lot more excited about, all right, so the fact that the Raiders have an epically bad defense. I don't think they've gotten an interception all season. Now, they're going into Jay Cutler's house, so the interceptionless streak is most certainly coming to an end. Let's not go crazy. But what it tells you is they're not that good. Wait, I'm going to check their stats. Hold on. Defensive forced fumble, 1. Let's see here. Sacks.
Are they seriously? Are they only one takeaway all year?
You know how many interceptions they've had all season?
Well, you were saying maybe zero, so I'm guessing one or two at most.
It's zero.
That's pitiful. One forced fumble and zero interceptions. Literally one takeaway.
There are a couple games against the Jets in Washington where they had a couple other forced fumbles. But okay. And they had a four sack game against the Jets before we realized they were terrible. But
I mean, was seriously going to shed a tear for them.
Yeah, I mean, but for the most part, outside of a couple of games, so this hasn't been a great defense is where I'm going with it. It's going to be fun setting up the prime times, no question. But we do know that this is a very good offense, and this is why I'm like, I like this game. Why not? I mean, no one's excited about it, but it's Miami. They can't stop anyone. What about Amari Cooper? What about Michael Crabtree? Let's look at the defensive stats for Miami. Well, they're pretty good against running backs, and Oakland's like, suckers, we don't even have a running back. We have three guys that we don't even give a shit about. So, too bad on you, right?
We'll show you. We'll line this guy back up here, and he ain't going to do nothing.
Now, look at these numbers. WR1, 26. WR2, 32. Now, who's the WR2 for Oakland?
It's either Cooper or Crabtree.
Yeah, I mean, that's arguable. But either way, both of them are in good spots. Outside of the fact that Oakland's traveling east, and I don't put that much stock into that, Carr is another week healthier, and this is a pretty pristine matchup for the it's a get right spot to me for the Raiders offense. I think they're going to put the beat down on Miami, and I actually think they might even play some quality defense against Miami. Now, all that said, there are a couple of Miami wide receivers that you have to be interested in, again, assuming that Cutler's back. there's certainly nothing wrong with a little... Oh, wait, I have a song. I don't see nothing wrong if you play some Landry or maybe some Devante Parker against the Raiders' shitty D. There we go.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
That did happen. I take back my call that I'm going to shed a tear for the Raiders' D. I'm going to shed one for you. That was epic, dude.
Fair warning, I was out to dinner before this, and I was drinking moonshine.
I thought maybe it was your AC joint that was going bad on you again. And
they had some sort
fire
of
one up.
They had some sort of a moonshine based cocktail, which you know about all too well in Appalachians over there. And
dude, I'm in the Ozarks. It's worse
in the Ozarks, wherever that.
Our moonshine be cloudy over here, man.
I totally watched the show called Ozark on Netflix, and it's awesome. But I was thinking of you.
They do a sport called noodling where you go down into the river.
Is that when you get the catfish? I've heard of this.
You catch the catfish with your fucking fist. I mean, if they're doing that down there in the Ozarks, and hillbillies in their overalls, man, you know
we're a lot of some of our VIPs are hillbillies from the Ozark, man. We can't be.
God love them. I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying I ain't eating my catfish that way.
If you noodle me up a catfish, I'll definitely eat it. All right. So, yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with playing some of these guys. Absolutely. Oh. Both sides, because neither team can play defense. And no one's going to be on this game because it's got that low total. Again, it's Jay Cutler. I do think Oakland's going to get their first interception. Maybe two interceptions in this one. But I'm not interested in Oakland defense on the road. I think it's just one of those ones where I think we don't have to be afraid of either offense.
Sounds good. I don't know where to go from here. We go to Monday night now?
Yeah.
I'm still hearing that song, man. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head for a while.
I wish I had the music. If that would have been prepared, I might have been able to cue up some music for that. But
cue up a track? No. That was some Luther Vandross or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know it, this is completely happening in the ad-lib format. There is no pre-planning of any of it.
Oh, yeah, that was not in my show notes. That was not in there.
Monday night,
Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, another lowish total, 43 points. 2.5-point road favorite are the Detroit Lions. And we're heading into what the hell ever. This has actually, in the past couple of weeks, this is a game that I am not interested in on Monday night. So why don't you tell me what you would do, or what pieces you would pick up in the primetime slate as well?
How tough
and then
is
we can
this?
Wrap this pot up, put it to bed.
How tough is this primetime slate? So, I mean, it's like these two games are really interesting. Green Bay, Aaron Jones looked really good a couple of weeks ago as the primary running back. He's still fairly inexpensive. Now, the Lions have been good defensively, so you're not going to get too excited. I can't even get on board with, outside of, you know, crazy Monday night, two-game-only forced long shots with some of the Green Bay passing crew. I mean, the last time Green Bay played, this is shocking. I don't think he threw to the wide receivers at all. Like, I don't know who the hell the quarterback was throwing to, but let me see if I can get this game so I can get a look at some of these. Yeah, of course not. They don't even have it. All right, here, Thursday through Monday. Let me pull up this game because I want to talk about what happened the last time that Green Bay played with Hundley at the helm. 25 attempts, 12 completions against New Orleans, the Saints. In a game they were down and should have been throwing. Okay, who did he throw to? I don't freaking know. Jordy got four targets, one reception. Okay, well, it wasn't Jordy. Oh, it must have been Devontae Adams. Nope. Five targets, two receptions. Huh. It wasn't Adams. Maybe it was Randall Cobb. Nope. Four targets, two receptions. So far I've counted five of the 12. Who else is on the Packers? Am I crazy? Who was getting the? Was it Martellus Bennett? Three targets? Okay, not so much. Richard Rodgers? I mean, I still don't know. Was it
running? Was there a running back
Montgomery?
In there?
Montgomery? I mean, who was getting the? Oh, two Aaron targets? Jones? No, it wasn't him. I have no idea who he was throwing to, or maybe that was it because he only had this one. But my point is, this is not a volume offense to get excited by any stretch of the imagination. The only person
not anymore.
No, not with it. Oh, here it is. Well, who got all the targets and all the touches? Aaron Jones, 17 rushes, five targets, three receptions. So the only one coming off of last week, the only player on this team that even holds interest is Aaron Jones. Now, that doesn't mean that after a full – here's the mystery. We've had a full bye week. Practices. Mm-hmm. New quarterback. Right? They all know what happened in the previous game. He didn't throw it at all. So maybe, just maybe, they have some sort of a game plan where he's going to throw it to some of the wide receivers. And maybe it's out of nowhere. So on the two-game slate, you got to have some exposure, unfortunately, to at least Jordy Nelson also. Maybe Devontae Adams. I don't know if you have to go to, like, Randall Cobb levels. But a couple of these guys are going to get some exposure. For Detroit, you know, it's all hands on deck. Golden Tate, relatively inexpensive this week. Marvin Jones Jr. coming off of a unusually good game. He actually has done well in games where Golden Tate's sort of not in or somewhat injured. So he had
hobbled,
and he's had a couple big games all over that span. I don't like any sort of the runners. I mean, Amir Abdullah for the Lions, only because he's so freaking cheap. But the guy hasn't done shit all season. And he's had a lot of carries. It's weird. I mean, you don't normally see a guy getting 20 touches a game that hasn't passed.
He's not good.
I guess he's not good. I mean, maybe that's what it comes down to.
Overrated.
If I'm the opponent of the Lions, the one guy that scares me, I'm definitely more scared of Theo Riddick than I am of Amir Abdullah. And then,
out of the backfield.
I mean, in the dickiest of dick moves, I was watching, I had some Amir Abdullah exposure in the last primetime slate. And of course, they bring in Dwayne Washington, you know, in the red zone. And I'm like, really, guys? You're still doing this? So we have a three-headed monster where you have a goal line vulture, Amir Abdullah, who just gets lots of touches but does nothing with them. And then Theo Riddick, who steals all of the hurry-up offense work so that you've literally there's no game flow in which Amir Abdullah has a good game outside of a miraculous breakaway touchdown from the 25-yard line. That's his
which
only.
We've never seen.
He hasn't done it yet, but I mean, you know, maybe it's coming. He hasn't done it yet. I mean, he's got a touchdown. He had a touchdown against Minnesota. Was that one all season? One.
Yep, he was supposed to be a feature back, and he actually had a decent preseason, did he not?
He is the feature back in the sense that they give it to him the most. But
he got
one touchdown.
He got people excited.
One touchdown? All year? It's week 9. Why are they giving it to Dwayne Washington? What the hell has Dwayne Washington done to earn vulture status? He hasn't even vultured a fucking touchdown. Like, he gets the goal line carry. He can't even get a touchdown. Like, he gets stuffed. Why are they giving it to him? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good if you have Matt Stafford because their scoring does have to happen off of his throws. Even Theo Riddick hasn't gotten a touchdown. So every single touchdown scored
423 yards last week, zero touchdowns.
Yeah, but that kicker, man, he put up a big number.
Well, sure. You would too if your team couldn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, he was putting up points like a maniac. Maybe it's another kicker game. I don't know. But, you know, this is going to be an interesting Monday night, an interesting primetime slate, Sunday night, Monday night. I'm definitely going to focus on the Raiders offense and Miami, and sure. I'm going to be very light on this game. Outside of the pass catchers, of course, Stafford maybe and his pass catchers who, you know, Golden Tate and blah, blah, blah. So we like those guys a little bit. I definitely don't like any – I don't like the tight ends. I don't trust Tarik Ebron and Daniel Fells. No. So interesting. Interesting game. Not a whole lot of goodness coming out of it in my mind, but certainly the best likelihood is like a Stafford to Golden Tate kind of combo that does well.
Fair enough for me.
Yes. That is week 9.
Now, why don't you send us off into the sunset? I'll let you do it this week as long as you don't do it in song.
I'm definitely not going to do it in song, but no, I'm excited. Guys,
that was awesome.
Yeah. You know, we got the big slate again. We've had our members just crushing it week after week. I'm going to go personally chasing the King of the Beach qualifier this week. I haven't chased it very much. I've put a couple entries in there, but I'm going to go heavy again at it just to try to join some of our VIP members at the beach. Together, we'll all chill, have a barbecue, get the families together, be good times. So we'll see
barbecue,
if that...
Barbecue, that's Ozark shit.
Well, there you go. Listen, they don't just barbecue in the Ozarks. They barbecue everywhere. in the meantime, obviously, more research will go into this. There'll be more. I'll be back with the VIP pod on probably Friday night. Geeks Picks on Friday evening, Friday afternoon, Friday night at some point. And I'm doing later and later with the picks, not because I like waiting on things, but rather just to kind of get all the information of the week. Football, it's a late-breaking news kind of sport. I like to know everything. I like to get a lot of research in. So hopefully the accuracy and everything is as good as can be. Have patience with that, and I think we're going to see everybody in Slack or in the. If you're not a DFS Army VIP member, we will see you in the lobby.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. We'll be right back.